through this series, one for Dale Cohen and one for Easter. But I want to wind it up this weekend as we're talking about symbols that show us aspects of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know really any other part of the Godhead that has more symbolism than the Holy Spirit. And that may be because you can't get a mental picture of the Holy Spirit in your mind. You know, I can picture what I think the Father looks like. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, you know, he's this white-haired, long white-haired, you know, is it like, what's that guy on? Gandalf. Yeah, he kind of looks like Gandalf, you know. Fiery eyes, you know, and he's got this big stick. And I used to think he was mean, but now I found out that he's a loving Father. So you can get a picture of what the Father looks like. And then Jesus, we've got all kinds of 8 by 10 glossies of Jesus, so we know what he looks like. You know, we have all kinds of people who have depicted Christ. But the Holy Spirit doesn't really have a body like as we understand it. So some of the pictures of the Holy Spirit comes through imagery that the Bible has given us to show different aspects of his being. And one thing that I hope that you've learned through this whole teaching on the Holy Spirit, number one, the Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. Even when the Holy Spirit is convicting you, he's your friend. The Holy Spirit not only deals with us before we get saved, brings us to Christ, baptizes us into Christ, helps us grow in Christ, but he works hard of keeping us in the parameters of the ways of life. When we start veering off, that prick that you feel in your heart is not condemnation, it's conviction. You know there is a difference in condemnation and conviction? Conviction says, don't go there. Condemnation says, you unworthy dog, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do that. That's the difference in conviction and condemnation. And we do need, you know, if we have no conviction in our life, something's wrong with us spiritually. And we need that work of the Holy Spirit in our life. He is our friend. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to draw close to him. See, the God principle is draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But if you don't draw nigh, he'll stand off and call. He'll stand at the door and knock. But you know, in Revelation, he said that to the church. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. See, it's a picture of intimacy that the Lord wants to have with us. But guess what? We have to open the door. We have to invite him in. We have to be a willing participant in this thing. See, coming to Christ is not just a one-time event. It's the beginning of a relationship. You know, a lot of people come, they want to pray the prayer. And I prayed the prayer, now I'm done. No, you're not done. You pray the prayer, what's the next step? You make a public profession of your faith through baptism. You become a committed follower of Jesus Christ. You learn several things, and this is why we do the 7 basics class, to teach new believers. How is it that we grow in Christ? And there's several things that we teach them about growing in Christ, because God didn't save us just so we could go to heaven. God saved us so that he could use us for his glory. And you can't be quiet about Christ. You can't be quiet about your relationship with God. It is a open, public thing. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, the first week we talked about water. We talked about wind. We talked about water. We talked about fire. We've talked about 3 aspects of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about 3 today because I need to wind this up. And Joe will begin in a new series next week. But the first one that we want to talk about today is, and I'm going to start backwards and work my way towards one. We're going to talk about the dove, the dove. And we see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And this was at Jesus' baptism. We see a symbol of the Holy Spirit, okay? And it says, as Jesus was baptized, he comes up out of the water in Luke 3, 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So here we see that this aspect of the Holy Spirit has to do with presence, with manifestation. And this is one thing that we need to see about the Holy Spirit. He wants to manifest in our lives. There was an evidence of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, and it was the Holy Spirit descending on him in a bodily form like a dove. They could see that. There was evidence of that. There was evidence of Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't work a miracle until after the Holy Spirit came on him. In fact, Jesus didn't work a miracle in all of his childhood. And I know that, you know, we've seen these, what's called the lost books of the Bible. They're not lost, and they're not books of the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus began his miracles with turning water into wine. That was the beginning of miracles. He didn't do any miracles before that. And let me tell you why. Some of you are not going to like this. He couldn't. Because he emptied, when he came to earth as a man, he emptied himself of his attributes of omnipresence, omniscience, all-knowing, omnipotence, all-power. He couldn't do that. Otherwise, you know, if he is our example and he had full advantage of all of his attributes of God, he couldn't walk as a man. So he had to. It's not that he didn't have them. He just didn't use them. He emptied himself of those things. He had to learn. The Bible says that as a child, that he grew in stature and wisdom. Listen, if you're omniscient, if you have all knowledge, if you have that, you don't need to grow in wisdom because you have all wisdom. No, he had to grow in that. He grew up as a human being, just like we are. He couldn't, as one of those books of the lost books of the Bible says, he stretched boards in his father's carpenter shop. Phooey. You know, that's why those books are not in the Bible, because they contradict the Bible. And so Jesus didn't do any miracles, but when the Holy Spirit came on him, there was an evidence of the Spirit coming on him, and that was the form of the dove coming on his life. And from that moment, he began to go and preach. He preached in the power of the Spirit. He operated in the power of the Spirit. All of the healings, all the deliverances, everything miraculous happened in Jesus' life because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit too. Listen, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, you and I, as followers of Christ, we too need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the dove is the loving, peaceful, the harmless, the innocence. And that's what we see in Jesus' life. Although he got tough sometimes, he wasn't tough on what we would consider sinners. He was tough on the sinners that were self-righteous and critical and judgmental of everybody else. He wasn't hard on the harlots. He wasn't hard on the wine bibbers. He wasn't hard on the people of the world. He was hard on religious people that were self-righteous, that should know but didn't, or ignored the truth. So that's where the Holy Spirit can get difficult with us when we neglect the truth. Okay, but anyway, so this symbol of the Holy Spirit is the symbol of evidence, of evidence. Then there is the symbolism of wine. And wine speaks of refreshing, Now, I'm not advocating drinking wine, okay? I'm not advocating. But wine, it does what? It refreshes. And there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. And this is prophetic of the day of Pentecost. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. He says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people." What happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with tongues. This is a fulfillment of that verse. "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" See, we're not called to do ministry in our own power, in our own strength, by our own ability. We're called to do ministry empowered. We're to enter into the rest of the Lord. We're to enter into the ability of the Lord and allow His ability to work through us and speak to us. You know what? I hate it when I come to speak and the Holy Spirit is not with me. I've got up a few times to talk and think, "Holy Spirit, where are you?" I don't want to do things in my own power. See, one of the things that the Holy Spirit has equipped me to do is to teach. To teach, to communicate. The anointing in my life has to do with communicating truth. I can't do that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, it may not seem miraculous like casting out devils or laying hands on sick to see them recover. But see, when the Holy Spirit adds His anointing to your ability, to your teaching, then it goes beyond what I can do in the natural. Because there are times when I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is penetrating your heart. See, that's why we often ask you at the end of a service, "What did the Holy Spirit say to you today?" Not "What did I say to you?" It don't matter what I say to you. It does matter what the Holy Spirit says to you. So this refreshing of the Holy Spirit is when we enter into the rest of the Lord. We're not in our own labors alone, although we're partners with God, and God takes us and uses us in the things that He's called us to do, and that is refreshing. It's not refreshing. I'm not naturally a public speaker. That is not something that just comes natural to me. Now, I have gained experience as a speaker when I'm speaking about the subject of the Word of God. But if I had to go to give a speech about something else, that doesn't come natural to me. Now, I've been invited by the Kiwanis in June to come and share my experience about going to Israel. I'm looking forward to that, but that is not my area of comfort. That is not my area of strength. I need the Holy Spirit to help me when I communicate. And that's the area that He has called me to. So I can enter into the rest of the Holy Spirit, and I can communicate through His ability, and the Holy Spirit can take my words and say to you what needs to be said to your heart. That is the refreshing. That is the wine, that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish that for which He's called us to do. And everybody said, okay. Now, the last one that we want to talk about, and I want to take some time with this one. This is the oil. Oil in Scripture is used for a couple of things. Oil is used to sanctify. In the tabernacle, the oil was used to set apart certain things. They anointed the different things with two things, blood and oil. And what that did is that set that apart for sacred service, not for common service. Now let's get this. See, holy doesn't always mean, it doesn't just mean living good, okay? Holy just means set apart. Because honestly, none of us are perfect. None of us earn anything by our goodness. Isn't that true? We don't. We don't earn anything by our goodness. Now, we should be good, okay? We should be good. We should act right. But even when you act right, you're still going to mess up. Isn't that true? You're going to mess up from time to time. Some more than others. But so holy, although it does talk about, you know, growing in holiness and right living, but holy, in one sense, it means you're set apart for a particular cause. And so they had these instruments of the tabernacle that they were set aside for and sanctified, set aside for not common use, but for sacred use. Now let's illustrate this another way. Let's take a cup. A coffee cup. A coffee cup is holy. Because it's set aside for something like drinking coffee, right? Now, if you're out in a boat and your boat starts leaking, you don't want to take your coffee cup and bail, unless you had to, and bail with that. You want a bucket for that. You know, if your toilet backs up and you have to bail, you don't want to use your coffee cup for that, do you? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's set aside for a purpose. It's not common. There are some things that, you know, you could use a pail out in the yard for lots of different. You could use it for watering your plants. You could use it for bailing your boat. If your bathroom backs up, you can use that for, you know, to throw the stuff out the window or whatever. And it's common. But there are things that are set aside for a particular use. And I said all that to say this. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He pours His oil on us and He sets us aside for a particular use. You are not called to be common. You're not called to be something that is just everyday common. You're set aside for a purpose. You're set aside for His purpose. And this is a picture of the oil. Oil was the instrument. It was the fuel for the candlestick in the tabernacle, and they would keep this oil in this candlestick, and they would fill it, and they never let that light go out. So that oil, as it burned, it gave off light. And His oil in us, as it burns, as it does its work in us, what does it do? It gives off light. You know, Jesus said something. He says, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. He was the light of the world. Why was He the light of the world? Well, He was the Messiah. He was anointed by God. He was set apart by God to be the Messiah. But then we see this other thing. In Matthew 5:14, where Jesus said to His disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, if we have been set apart by the Holy Spirit, who is the oil, and He is the one that's fueling our fire, we're supposed to do what with our light? We're to let our light shine in the world, not in the church house. You know, we all let it shine in the church house. Let's let it shine in the other houses too. Your house, the house that you work in, the world that you live in. Let your light shine that men may see your light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, I don't need to be a stumbling block to people. I know Christians who are stumbling blocks to people. The light that you give off is not the light that you've been set apart to give off. See, we need that work of the Holy Spirit as it burns in us. What does fire do? It purges, doesn't it? It purges the bad stuff out, and it brings the good stuff forward. It brings the light. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let our light shine so that God can be glorified. Now, oil also represents the various anointings of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See what that says? That God anointed. Well, you know, if He operated as Christ in the earth, if He operated as God in the earth, He wouldn't have to be anointed. He was already anointed. He drew on the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And what did He do? He goes about, He's doing good. He's letting His light shine. And He was healing all that were oppressed with the devil, for God was with Him. That's good stuff. So the various anointings of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some of these real quick. And I don't have time to cover them all. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 talks about gifts that God has set in the church. And He Himself, Ephesians 4:11, gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are gifts that God has set in the church for a specific purpose. These are anointings of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are called to step into these offices and to function in these offices. They don't do it by their own power. They don't do it by their own ability. They do it because it's a gift of God. It is an anointing. It is the influence of the Holy Spirit in their life. You say, well, I don't have a gift like that. You don't have to have one. You've got gifts. You've got abilities that the Holy Spirit has given you. And in Romans 12, it talks about this. Sounds like it's raining out, doesn't it? It says this in verse 6, having then gifts differing. Say that with me, differing. We don't all need to have the same gifts, do we? We need to have diversity in the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is not about sameness. The body of Christ is about diversity. And we need diversity. We need diversity. We don't need to be copycats. We need to be ourselves. We need to be who God made us to be. But it says having gifts differing according to the, what's that next word? Grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Don't try to be something that you're not. You're not called to be something that you're not. You are called to be different. I didn't say weird, I said different. You're called to be different. One of the hardest things to do, and I've struggled with this, and I think we all struggle with it, because a lot of times we want to imitate. We want to imitate. We see things and say, okay, I want to imitate that. And I think we shortchange ourselves when we imitate. You were given your personality by God. You were given your form. You may have expanded it, but you were given your form and your height and you were given most everything by God. And some things we mess up, but it's not something He can't fix up. And we need to be who we're designed to be by God, because we are all different. We need your grace. We need the grace that's in your life. You know, we have some very, very gracious, godly people in this church. You know, I think about, you know, different ones. I don't want to start naming names. But, you know, and I observe sometimes, and I like to watch people, and I see how they flow. And I'm thinking, that is so amazing. Their personalities, their perceptions, how they're gifted. And they're allowing God to use them within the confines of their personalities and the grace that's in their lives. And it's so amazing. And I know sometimes that we don't realize exactly how much God is doing through us. I don't know about you. I have a tendency to beat me up. Does anybody else, do you ever beat yourself up? Anybody? Am I the only one in the house that beats themselves? Rest of you, perfect. No. Or liars. I don't know which, if you're perfect or lying or just you're not going to raise your hand no matter what. Okay? No, I think we do that a lot. I think we, you know, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I can't speak. I can't, you know, you know, why don't we just hush that up and allow God's grace to use us the way that He's gifted us? According to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, those are gifts. Ministry, helps, serving, those are gifts. Yeah, but that's not a great gift. Oh, really? Really? Serving is not a great gift? Let me tell you something about serving. Serving is one of the most wonderful things that you can do. Serving is a very rewarding thing that you can do. It really is. It's rewarding. You know, we were working hard yesterday. I mean, we were lifting. Have you ever worked with treated lumber? You could kill somebody with a 2x4, treated 2x4. That thing weighs a ton. And we were cutting and, you know, drilling holes and putting picnic tables together. And, you know, I was exhausted after the day was over, but I felt so fulfilled because I was able to serve my community. See, that's a spiritual gift. Serving. People are anointed by the Holy Spirit to serve. Sometimes we have opportunities when people are at their worst, when they lose somebody, and we're able to surround them and serve them and love them and cook them a meal and take food to their house. You know what that is? That's a spiritual gift. And it can be so rewarding. And it's, let me tell you, there's churches that is severely lacking in because they do, well, that's just something that you do. No, it's a grace. It's a grace. We can all do it, but there are people who do it with excellence, who do it well. And when they do it, it really reaches. It really talks. And then there's exhortation. There are people who can just make you feel good.
You may have fallen in poo, but these people can come around you and they can make you feel so good. Okay? I mean, I'm trying to be extreme here to, you know, some of you gone to sleep. I had to get you awake, and that did it. That went out over the internet, I want you to know. They talked about falling in poo. Well, you know, people are low sometimes. They don't need to be pushed back into it. They need to be exhorted out of it. And there are people who are gifted to be exhorters. They don't see the bad. They look for the good. We need that in the body of Christ. Can you say amen? That's true. What is that? That has to do with the oil of the Holy Spirit that's in your life. See, you are uniquely put together by God for the purpose of shining forth your light. Yeah, but I can't teach. That's not your calling. Yours may be to serve. Yours may be to encourage. Yours may be to show mercy. That's probably not one of my strong suits, mercy. You know, people come in and they're crying and they're going through this. Okay, I say, number one, here's what you do. That's not what they want to hear. They want to hear, oh, you poor baby. That's not me. Number one, here's what you got to do. They don't hear me. They don't hear me. They don't listen to me. I want to say, listen, number one. You know, let's get something going here. Let's get some positive steps going in the right. I can encourage and exhort you, but showing mercy, that's probably not my strong suit. So, you know, if you need mercy, don't come to me. There are people in this church that can show mercy. Don't come to Miss Gail. She has no mercy whatsoever. She's worse than I am. But there are people in this church that can show wonderful mercy. Now, when they get through with you, come and I'll say, now, number one, number two, number three, here's what we need to do. Read this book. Read this verse. Put this into your life. Now, do we need that? Yes. Do we need mercy? Yes. Do we need exhortation? Yes. And there are people who have been oiled by the Holy Spirit to do that. And when they let that oil burn in their lives and it flows through them as light, it brings glory to God and it helps and lifts up people. So listen, do not ever put down your giftings in the Holy Spirit. If yours is serving, see, your challenge is to criticize those who don't have that gift. Okay? Well, I serve all the time, and I just seem like I'm the only one that serves. No, 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 no. Let your light shine. Do your thing. Do your thing. Let other people do their thing. And you know what God does? He orchestrates. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He orchestrates the body, and He puts the diversity of the body together, and He makes it work in a rhythm. He makes it work so that the entire body is built up by the gifts, by what every joint supplies in the body of Christ. Just don't be a stiff joint. Honestly, we need more people flowing in their abilities that's given to them by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Prayer team, come. We want to have a time of prayer today. And whatever need that you might have in this place.